Welcome to season two of Coping Kit for Everyday Life. I'm Genevieve.
And I'm Michelle. This season's theme is change. Together, we will explore tools for coping with the ordinary and the extraordinary changes in life. Hi, Genevieve.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great. So we're starting season two. This is actually a fun topic. So today we're going to talk about play. So I know we always see that term, all work and no play. Well, we're going to talk about like how play can be part of our coping kit. So when in preparing for this, I really started to think about, like, as an adult, like, why do we stop playing? So as a kid, I remember, you know, we played until the street light went off. And it was just, you know, just having fun. It could be, you know, playing in the mud. When I'm little, I used to love to like play in the mud and pretend I'm making up some concoction and then dare my friend to like eat it. Well, of course, no one ever eat it. Put the worms in there, whatever. Or we take nature walks and we pretend that we're in the safari. So I think about us walking through the Bronx and in our imaginations, we were in the safari and looking for animals and all these fun things that we used to do where somehow as adults, we stop. It's like we don't have time for play. So I think this is going to be fun to talk about, like, how do we bring play back? So what did you do as a kid? What was your idea of fun?
Well, you know, similar to you, like I loved playing in the mud. I can remember my two friends lived up the street. They were sisters and we used to play runaways and we took it so far that we even went to like a little diner and she was like, no, we're runaways. We wouldn't have any money. We can't get soda. We have to order milk. And I remember being like, milk? I'm not eating that. You know, like, that's kind of like really just taking that whole thing and just being so immersed in the story that we were creating around our running away from who knows, I don't even remember what the backstory was of that. But I also love board games. We played a lot of board games growing up as kids. Sorry is one of my personal favorites.
And the Trouble. I love the Trouble and the Pop-O-Matic.
The Pop-O-Matic. There's nothing like that Pop-O-Matic. Yes.
With Trouble, Sorry is so similar, but it's just...
Yes, they're very similar, but it does have... Yes, and when you got the Sorry, you'd be like, Sorry.
Exactly. Or Connect Four. That was another favorite.
Oh, boy. Connect Four, yes. Yeah. So we played a lot of games, a lot of board games as kids, and just really letting yourself get immersed in that sort of really into a story that you've created... Or that you're creating as you go, right? Like that whole thing. And I miss it. And we don't do it as adults anymore.
So true. I definitely agree that we don't do it as adults. But I think the interesting thing is being trolley specialists, It actually allowed us to play.
Yeah.
So I feel like I think about, you know, the times that we work with patients and we, you know, Genevieve and I share a love of board games. So We definitely had Uno challenges and Skippo challenges with the kids. And we would play for hours. I remember being in the clinic and these kids would like, you know, they're supposed to be getting a chemo. They'd be like, wait, no, I can't stop. Like they can't. No. Remember why we're here. And, you know, we would just contain these rounds of Uno with the patients and just how much fun we had. I think, you know, working with kids, I think sometimes also reminds you about what it's like to be a kid and having that fun.
Well, I'm sure that's part of what drew us to the profession in the first place. I mean, I used to tell people that I get paid to play, right? I get paid to play all day. I love board games. I love making stuff. And that's what we did. And, you know, play is really, it's important. It's important for children because they learn to, you know, navigate relationships, form relationships, make connections with people. It helps with brain stimulation. It helps you learn. It opens up opportunities and possibilities and you're making choices. And so there's a lot around that for kids, but we don't always really think about the ways why it's important also as an adult to continue to play in your life as an adult.
So true. It's like, it's somewhere along the line you, I don't know, it's like, it's weird. It's like you get to a point and something tells you like, oh, I can't do that anymore. Like somehow being an adult means you don't play. Everything becomes like all work. Like I said, right. That's, you know, and that you don't play. And it's kind of sad that we kind of learn to believe that that is what we should do. And in fact, you know, like you said, how play helps kids in so many ways. It helps adults in so many ways, you know, really can help with stress management. It can really help with your well-being and coping, like really being able to take time to have fun and do things that, you know, because you think about like when you do play, like how you laugh. you know, those endorphins that, you know, are stimulated. You think about when you play, like, sometimes helps you problem solve, you know, playing board games or, you know, some people, not my favorite thing, some people like Sudoku or crossword puzzles. Like, that's play too.
Yeah.
You know, in a different way, you know, doing things in an intellectual way also. So I think there's so much to be said about that. And how do we lose it? But I guess today we can talk about how can we possibly get some of that
back. Get it back. How do we get it back?
How do we bring it back to So I think, you know, first, I think being child specialists, I think one of the things that we do is, like Genevieve mentioned, is like we play with kids and, you know, encourage just the regular play, therapeutic, you know, not the therapeutic play, but also just being playing and just enjoying being a kid kind of play. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we do definitely play with kids and we do medical play and we do all these other things to help them learn and understand what their bodies and help them with coping. And I think we also wanted to just let kids be kids and, like, you know, doing the things you would normally do and right. playing games or, you know, doing arts and crafts or creating things. I know sometimes we would actually be cooking with the kids, you know, and that's also a form of play. Because I think about myself, like I talked about earlier, how like this playing in the mud and creating these things, or even at home, we used to have these deer, me and my brother would like take everything in the refrigerator and put it all together and and make this whatever, and then dare the other person to drink it. So it's no surprise that, you know, I love to cook. And to me, like, cooking is like play for me. It's a way to be creative. You know, I turn on the music or, you know, when I'm cooking, or I love to watch like Food Network or any cooking type of show and like recreating those things. So it's kind of like, to me, it's like, start to think about things you did as a kid. And as for play and how it kind of is the same way as an adult, but in a different way. So I think that's, you know, something to think about too. How do we do that? I actually read a really interesting article in the New York Times. There's a gentleman by the name of Jeff Harry, and he coaches like healing in the workplace through play. And I thought it was just really interesting, his concept of, like, he talked about it, you know, like how we stop playing in that, in fact, that, you know, talks about like how we stop and wondering, like, why does that happen? And he kind of shares a little bit about like how he remembers when he stopped playing and then how he remembered how much value had played for him and how he brought it back into his life. And I guess that's why he tries to then teach others about that, you know, bringing play back into their lives, but also in the workplace. Because I think, you know, the workplace is another place where you're like, you know, we got to work, got to be serious. But think about it, all the times Jen and I, we would have, it's fun, like we would laugh, we would like silly, these kinds of fun things. But I think that actually makes the work environment actually more fulfilling.
Yeah.
Keeps and, engaged.
And when you think about, I mean, just what you described before, also like thinking about the kind of stress that children were under. We both worked in pediatric hematology oncology, and they were getting, you know, blood transfusions or, you know, chemotherapy treatments. And it's a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress around that. And yet, for those moments that they're engaging in those activities of playing and playing games, whatever, that they would literally be like, no, 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 you can't take my port out now because I got to finish this game, right? So they get so lost and immersed in that. And when we're at work, you know, as adults, you don't get so, I mean, we get immersed in our work, but unless your work is as a child life specialist, it's not so much fun.
May not be having the same kind of
Immersion in play. But when we think about the level of stress that we may experience from work or even in our personal as well as professional lives, that to not introduce play into those settings is really a detriment, because it's in play that you have those opportunities to let your mind go, right? Let your mind wander, to be creative, to think differently about something, to decrease your own, you know, your stress, your anxiety, or bring down your heart rate, right? Or bring up, for that matter, if you're getting excited as you play. But, you know, like that all can have a really positive effect on our well-being, but also on our personal and professional relationships and experiences.
Yeah. And as I think about what you're saying too, to add to that, I think about how when you play, how it also allows you to be in the moment. And I think sometimes that's so important that, you know, if you were to take a play break, it would allow you to like be in the moment for that little bit of time. And then sometimes when you kind of put yourself in a moment, it then will actually help you to go back to work and that it kind of, you know, frees your mind. So it probably opens up more creativity, opens up more room for problem solving because you've given yourself that mental break, you know, as well.
Yeah. Kind of,
as you've been saying, that can be so helpful in the workplace. And then I think it's interesting to think about like different types of play, like as far as, and this art was interesting. He kind of looks at it four different categories. He talks about like direct play, so someone who likes to play with others, lighthearted plays where it's more, you know, you don't take things as seriously, so like goofy kind of fun kind of play, and intellectual plays like the brain teasers and the kind of like the more intellectual kinds of things, games and puzzles and all that kind of stuff. And then he talks about the whimsical, which is the odd or unusual way of playing. So when you think about, and you could actually obviously do all of these or one, but if you were to think about as an adult, Genevieve, where do you think you fall most in the moments that you do, you know, kind of, you know, have those play moments? You know, where would you think you...
I think I probably... So I like games and puzzles. I do a lot of word searches. And since my mother had her stroke last year, she's been doing puzzles. And so when I go there, I used to always say I hated doing puzzles. And now I've been kind of getting into it. So I've been enjoying going to her house and doing her puzzle. But part of that is we're also sitting there with each other talking and hanging out together. I think either the lighthearted, and I'm not sure what would be an odd or unusual ways for play to be whimsical, but I consider myself sort of a, you know, whimsical person at times. And sometimes I will, like, I'll be home alone. And like, if I'm waiting for the kettle to boil, and I've been sitting for a while, so you're supposed to get up and move your body. So I'll get up and I'll, you know, dancing around the kitchen by myself, you know, like making up songs and dances. And I'm thinking, is that what they mean by whimsical, odd?
I think it is just unusual, just different ways of doing things.
Being a weirdo in my house, that's definitely, then I probably fall into that
category. I'm being a weirdo, but just, you know, just whatever, just kind of doing your own thing. That's the way I got it.
Yeah, what about you? What types of play are you drawn to?
I think I'd like to direct play. I like to play with others. Like, I like when I'm doing kind of, you know, playing games with others. I think one of my out to play things, I love to sing, and I do love to sing too. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite things to do when I can do with others is karaoke. So that's definitely a form of play, but it's something typical to do with others. I don't really, well, I sing all by myself, but I think it's fun. I like love going and just singing songs together and doing karaoke kind of thing.
Yes, we had a very good time doing that for your birthday.
Very fun. And I think also I do like the games, the board games as well. And in that sense, like I love card games at Uno and things like that. When I have the chance to do that, it's also, I find fun. It's like sometimes it gets too fun that I become competitive where I'm like sometimes like, okay, can't take it too seriously. It's like I start up like, oh, all right, let's play this game. And then I'm like, I want to win. I win. So then I'm like, okay, calm down.
Yeah. People always say I'm super competitive at games, but
you
I don't really. I'm competitive, but if I lose, I'm not like,
No, not that. I just like, I get into it. Like, it's been one time, I'm in. It's like, okay, if we're playing this game to win, I'm in. I would try to win. If I don't win, I'm over. It's totally fine. But I even think about when my team, we would have, you know, our special events, and my team would always come up with these fun games. And it's like, we would just go at it. It's like, you know, green team and blue team and whatever we were doing, like, I'm in, I'm invested. I'm going to put my all into that game. So I do like, well, I love that, you know, it's kind of fun. And that's, I do enjoy that. So I think it's important to think about, like, you know, what types of play interest you. And I think a good way to do that is also to think about, you know, when you were a kid and like what things interest you then, and then seeing how maybe something you liked as a kid could be something that you could do as an adult. So, you know, maybe if you were someone who, you know, liked games, like maybe then you want to figure out like maybe different types of, you know, maybe you want to have like, you know,
A game night.
Exactly. Thank you. That's a good one. Yeah. Or, you know, if you're someone who liked to do as a kid, like arts or arts and craft types of things. So maybe, you know, taking a class that, you know, painting class or, you know, he gave a good example, which I thought, like, if you like Play-Doh as a kid, which a lot of kids did, maybe you want to take, you know, a sculpting class or something like that, or some ceramic class. So I think there's just so many different ways that play can be a part of your life as an adult and just thinking about what that could possibly look like. And then I also like this idea of taking play breaks. So it's kind of like, you know, making time for playing your life, because I think one of the things that I'm guilty of, and I don't know if you are, Jen, or our audience members will also feel, is like, I always say I don't have time. And the thing is that, you know, you make time for things that are important to you. And it doesn't even have to be this long, drawn out thing. I mean, it could be something simple, you know, that you can allow yourself to do every day. You know,
yeah.
When it comes to playing, you know, if, even if it's like dancing around in your kitchen,
yep.
You know, like that's fun. Playing, you know, or singing songs, or, you know, some people like to, maybe someone like sports, shoot some hoops, you know, or shooting some hoops into your little waste paper basket in your office. Like, you don't even have to go out to the
That's park. Right.
But like simple things, just giving yourself a break. Think about, like, why do we have recess as kids? Because it's something important about taking that time and having that time to play and to run around.
Yeah. And there's been research done on recess with kids and how kids who do that are more focused when they come back. So why aren't we applying these same concepts as adults to our workspaces, right? Or to our own lives? It's interesting. It's really, I love this idea of taking play breaks and, you know, just stopping for a minute and stepping away from the sort of focus of work and just stepping away and doing something for 30 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever it is, just...
Doing something fun to see how it makes impacts on you, even that short bit of time. Like you said, it doesn't have to be a lot of time, just even a little bit of time, 2 minutes to focus
on something
for yourself. So what would you say, Jen, you know, my favorite question is, what was your takeaway from our time together today? Talk about play and bringing play back as an adult.
Well, it makes me think about, I think my takeaway is this idea of play breaks, right? Of really incorporating that more into my day. But also really thinking about what are things that I am doing that are playful, right? And how can I increase that, right? Or maybe trying to think about even different types of play. Like if I, instead of just doing, you know, sort of intellectual type of play, maybe engaging more in direct play with other people, right? So like trying to figure out a different play from what I normally do, maybe, right? And look for more opportunities for that as well.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think for me, the play break, I think incorporating that, especially at work, because I think that's something I miss. Like, I think, you know, being a child of specials where, you know, it was like built in. I was playing with kids, so I naturally was playing. But I feel like as I less and less do the clinical work, I don't actually really built into my schedule. So I think, you know, figure out how to build it into my work schedule. And also, you know, maybe also building into this work schedule of my team members as well. So, you know, we always like to give you a little bit of the reflection or a journal or something to do. So I think two things come to mind. One is, you know, like Jen just talked about, like write a list of a playlist. So write a list of the things that you do and think about, like, how do I play as an adult? And write a list of different things that you can do. And then if you're not sure of, like, well, I'm not sure what's considered play, maybe go back and think about when you were a kid, like, what are things you enjoyed? And then see how they may relate to what you do now to help you generate that playlist.
Great idea.
And then the other thing is this play break. You know, pick a time, maybe one time this week that you're going to have a play break, and then pick something from your playlist and try it out. So I think those are the two things that I want to leave with our audience with to think about, and how they can incorporate play into their coping kit. So thank you for joining us for Coping Kit for Everyday Life.
Hi, thank you.
Reach out to us and share your thoughts, ideas. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.